And thank you for joining me. Welcome back. The Free Stretch Podcast, Episode 2, Post-Irma, Pre-Game 1 Edition. And first things first, I want to thank everybody who downloaded or listened to the first podcast. All the support, got a lot of well-wishers, got a lot of people giving me compliments about the show. And those of you that didn't like the show, I want to thank you as well for not saying anything to me directly about it. But, you know, first time doing this last week here with Joe Bucks Fan, and it was a little bit different than radio. It was definitely something that was new, but when you get right down to it, we're just talking about things, and no matter what the format is for that, it's just talking about things. And I have a lot of things to talk about this week as we get set for now what we finally know is Game 1 of the National Football League 2017 season for your Tampa Bay Buccaneers, as they host the Chicago Bears in what was once the home opener and is now both the home opener and season opener. So we're going to get to that today. Couple things real quick, though, because one of the things I missed about not having a radio show was not being able to reach out to a broader number of people about questions I had about the way things work or about how society works. And we're here back after this hurricane went through, and I know we've got people listening from a variety of places, so first let me say I hope all of you out there are okay. You know, again, if you're in the Tampa area where all this originates from, you probably are okay, but we've got people all around both the state and the country in a wide variety of places, so wherever you are, again, I hope it wasn't too rough on you. Where I live here in South Tampa, as it has been my whole life, I'm 37 now, and there's been a bunch of these things come and gone. This one actually did come through. Most of the time, they completely miss, and they're just a non-factor. Hurricane Irma actually did slide right through. It didn't hit Tampa directly, but it was only about 30 or 40 miles to the east of us. And that's as close as a hurricane has ever come in my lifetime here, yet by the time it got here, honestly, the weather outside was no worse than an afternoon thunderstorm. It was a longer time of that happening, and it was something that, and if you go to my Twitter account at Bobby Game Day, or if you check out my Facebook page, I posted some pictures. You know, I rode out to Bayshore Boulevard, and that was kind of a neat scene because, and for those of you that know Tampa, you know Bayshore. For those of you that don't, Bayshore is a road that goes along Hillsborough Bay leading up to downtown, and the water there can get high sometimes during storms if the water gets pushed up in there, but it can also, in the case of this past weekend, get sucked out if the wind blows away from the bay, and that's what happened. The water was way off the seawall, and usually where you look over the wall and there's water right there, it was just sand for a few hundred yards. I actually walked out there, did some other stuff, riding my bike around, because if you know me, and a lot of you don't, but if you know me, I want to be where the action is. I want to be there. I'm here for it. So, and this is one of the things I want to talk about today, evacuation never crossed my mind. I mean, if you made a list of things that I was likely to do at any point in my life, even before this weekend, evacuating in the event of a hurricane, like leaving town, is probably below chewing hot glass. Like, I would never leave for a hurricane, ever. And that came up this weekend. It's something I want to talk about. But you know, going back to what I was talking about, weather here didn't really get that bad. At no point was it dangerous in any way. And in fact, the most danger I was in was probably putting up the damn storm window covers that came with our house that I didn't even want, but they just automatically come with your house under like new laws. And this is, you know, new construction in the past couple years. So since we had them, you can probably guess, oh, well, you got to put them up, right? I mean, I didn't want to put them up, but then finally I relented and put them up on the day before. And my God, what a royal pain in the ass. Being 20, 25 feet up on the side of a house on a ladder, putting shutters up or covers or whatever you want to call them, let me tell you something right now, 100 times more dangerous than anything involved with the actual hurricane. And let me tell you something else. It's not just me saying that. I mean, this is a very sad thing. Somebody, I read it in the news, died putting their storm shutters up. They fell off the ladder. And again, that's far more dangerous than any of this stuff people... I don't want to get we're too worked up yet, okay? But listen. the hysteria that comes with these things, the way people act, and the unsubstantiated fear that people are all too eager to show. And when I say show, I don't just mean that they're scared. I mean they can't wait to tell everybody how scared they are in social media and Facebook and this, that, and the other. And I swear I'm going to talk about football today, okay? But just this is something I wanted to talk about on the podcast first. Because people got so crazy about this thing, and people love to get on social media and look at me. Look at me. We're leaving. We're scared. Are you scared too? You should be scared. Are you leaving? On and on and on. And yet I read about deaths of people putting shutters up, falling off ladders. Another guy with a chainsaw cutting trees had the thing kick back and get his jugular and he died. And so on and so forth. Okay? So here's what it came down to with me. I heard from a lot of people I know, friends of mine even, hey, we're getting out of town. People in my family, nobody left. But people I know who are like family, and then countless others, again, on social media, and maybe people I'm not that close to, but just are acquaintances with, oh, we're getting out of town, getting this, getting, we're going here, we're going there. I tweeted this out today. I asked some of you to tweet me or message me and tell me about, you know, the thought process of evacuating, why you did it, what your reasons were. I'll say it again. I have absolutely no understanding of people who think it's a good idea because a storm is coming to get in their car and drive, in some cases, hundreds of miles. For what? I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they... This is my question. What are you scared of? And again, I'm not like, I mean, people can do whatever they want. I'm not trying to tell people how to live their lives. I'm trying to understand the thought process. Because if you had taken out a briefcase and put $1 million on the table in front of me and said, Bobby, get in the car, head up to Atlanta for this thing. Just get out of town. I don't think I would have done it. I mean, I'm serious. I would have had to consider it. It's insanity to me. So let's go back to the beginning. My wife, the beautiful Chelsea, who I'm married to, who I'm very fortunate to be married to, who carries this family in more ways than one, believe me, she's from South Florida. She lived through Hurricane Andrew. She was not in Homestead, which was devastated, but she was, what is it, you know, 30 miles north, 40 miles north. She's from Davie, which is in Broward County. Anyway, she went through all that. And she's been through other ones, too, in South Florida, more so, obviously, than Tampa. But she lives here now. We don't have any hurricane issues until this weekend. So she, even, you know, a week ago was like, oh, I don't know about this. I don't know about this. And I kept saying, what? You don't know about what? I mean, if the hurricane comes, it comes. Whatever, we'll be inside the house. Like, I don't understand what you're afraid. Are you afraid the house is going to blow off of its moorings? Like, are you physically afraid for your safety? Like, you're going to get physically hurt? Anyway, fast forward a few days, the cone kept narrowing, it kept narrowing, and it kept narrowing. And it kept looking like Tampa was more in the sights. You know, first it was kind of out South Florida-ish, East Coast maybe, then as the days got closer. And finally by Friday, she said, you know what I'm going to say, right? And I was like, what? No, I don't know what you're going to say. She's like, I'm not staying for this. And we had already thought about the shutters a little bit, but I said, okay, I'll put them up. Fine, you know, no big deal. At this point, it was still possible this could be a direct hit on Tampa, so we didn't know. But, you know, we got this whole thing now. This is a tough choice because, again, even going back to before I met my wife, I would never, and I repeat, never leave for a hurricane. I just wouldn't do that. And if I had known I had to write that into our vows, I would have written it into our vows for our wedding. I will never, in sickness and in health, for better or worse, in times of impotence and potence, you know, like on The Simpsons, whatever, I would have written in, also, Bobby is never, ever leaving town, ever, for a storm, ever, 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 ever. I would have written that in if I had known. But my wife, luckily, and I, we're good at disagreeing on things. We've gotten pretty good at that. And she said, listen, you know, if you're going to stay here, I'm not even going to try and convince you. And her dad, who's from South Florida, had already evacuated here to Tampa. And he's kind of, you know, her and him both get a little more worried about stuff than I think is warranted. But anyway, they were like, oh, now we're going to Orlando. You coming? And I was like, no, I'm not coming. And I said, leave the kids with me then, go. I'll just, and of course she wouldn't leave the kids with me. So I wouldn't have sent her alone, but since she was with her dad, I said, you guys go, I'll help you pack up, I'll get everything ready, and then I'll stay here and tend to the house, you guys go to Orlando. They went to a hotel in Orlando. Now, you might be saying a couple things. First of all, you might be questioning me as a man, as a father, as a husband. I'm sure a lot of people did that my wife knows and her friends or family or people like that. I couldn't possibly care less, but I'm sure people are saying that. How could you leave your family in a time like this? Well, first of all, a time like what? She went to a high-rise hotel in Orlando. There was no safety in danger at any time. I would have preferred she'd stay here. I thought it was crazy to get on the roads and do something like that, considering all the other hysterical people doing it too. But, hey, I wasn't actually worried about her. Number one. Number two, her dad was with her. If it was just her alone, it might have been a different story. So you can judge me all you want. But number two, you might be saying, well, what's with Orlando? That's no different than Tampa. And here's what she said in her defense. She said, well, it may not be any further from Tampa one way or the other, depending on where it's going, as opposed to going somewhere much further away. But Orlando is inland. No matter how it hits Orlando, if it were to hit Orlando, it would have passed over land before that and weakened. Which is true. That's a valid point. Which is why, I mean, even though I think it was ridiculous and unmerited to do what she did to go to Orlando, my question today is the people. And I know our own Justin Pulaski tweeted about it. I haven't talked to him yet. I'd like to hear from him. People going to Atlanta? People going to Mobile, Alabama? People going to the Carolinas? I mean, are you freaking kidding me? Like, why would you go that far away? It just boggles my mind. Like, what the thought process... Like, first of all, what are you afraid of happening here? Like, what are you actually afraid of happening here? Because if you're afraid of the power going out or something, you can leave after that and go somewhere. It's crazy to me to think of getting on I-75. I mean, even if you're going to go north, hey, there's towns all along the way. There's a little place called Valdosta, Georgia. It's like 20 minutes north of the state line. Why not stop there and save the extra 3.5 hours going to Atlanta? Atlanta! I mean, think about going to Atlanta, just driving for like 6 hours and then driving back. And I saw people complaining about it on Facebook and think, oh God, this is awful getting back to town after this storm. Why did you, I mean, again, my email, if you want to ever email me, folks, it's bobbygameday@yahoo.com. BOBBYGAMEDAY. Okay? @yahoo.com. Tweet at me @BobbyGameDay. I'm an easy guy to get a hold of. Tell me, like, really tell me. One, what you were afraid of. Two, why it wasn't good enough to go, you know, an hour away. Like, did you think the storm was some boogeyman coming to kill everybody? Because that's not how it works. And so, again, thinking about the evacuation, I mean, I live in Area B. There's five areas, you know, or however they do it, Zone A, B, C, and D. Zone A is the first one to get evacuated, you know, people right on the water. I'm in B and right on the border of C. I was not told to evacuate. If I had been told to evacuate, and what you're told to do is just go far enough to be in a non-evacuation zone. It could be 5 or 10 miles. So I have people in town. I'm from Tampa. My entire family is here. I have plenty of places I could go to just get out of Zone B and still be in town. And I didn't rule that out. I would do that, maybe. I mean, my mom's house, my grandmother's house, my dad's. But there's 100 places I can go to in Tampa. Just, again, a 15-minute drive away or a 10-minute drive away. I get that. But, and I had people ask me, like, Bobby, why do you want to be here so bad? You know, you're asking us why we want to leave so bad. Why do you want to be here so bad? One, I will admit, is curiosity. And I told you last week on the podcast, I'm the type of guy that gets excited for stuff like this. I know that's maybe wrong. You know, this thing did a lot of terrible things to people in other places, even though it wasn't here. But I can't help it. The energy of it, you know, seeing those forecasts early, feeling that energy, all the things, all the buzz that goes with it. And I'll tell you another thing, too, and I hate to say this because it wasn't this way for a lot of people. I had an absolute blast this weekend. Nobody in my neighborhood left, except for my wife, but nobody around here left. I have a very tight, close-knit neighborhood. A lot of people are friends with each other. Everybody stayed. We were getting together all, you know, putting our houses in order beforehand. Everybody's outside, helping each other out, the camaraderie, you know, having a good time. Then when it actually happened on Sunday, we were at each other's houses walking back and forth and, you know, people making dinner for each other. It was just a really cool camaraderie type thing. And again, I know people are out there like thinking, God, this guy is just a dick. I can't believe he's saying these things when, you know, I was so stressed out. I've never been that scared in my life. The hardship that came with this. I'm sorry. I'm just telling you. I thought it was a blast. I had a great time. Now, if it hit us directly, I probably wouldn't be singing that tune. But again, it was just, you know, the energy of it. Riding my bike. I went for a bike ride like when the first couple bands started hitting, not the close eye wall. I went out there and looked around. Went out to Bayshore. I got some great videos of it. I'll try to post them, or maybe Joe wants me to post them or something. I don't know, but I mean, I couldn't have had more fun with this thing aside from the shutters. Just the energy of it. Maybe I'm bored. Maybe my life is so boring that stuff like this is what it takes. Maybe I need to get a life. But I'm sorry. I had a great time with this whole thing. But number one, number two, I've never been in a category 3 or 4, which would have been very bad. I mean, don't mistake. I'm not trying to, like, downplay. That would have been a very bad thing. But you're telling me you're not curious what that's like? I am. My wife isn't because she's been through it before. Maybe that's part of our disconnect on this thing. But I was thinking, hey, this thing comes in. I'm going to walk outside just for a minute. I just got to feel it. I just got to, just for a minute, you know? I'm going to go out in my driveway, just feel that power. Never came to that. Like I said, you could just walk outside easily. It was not ever that windy at our house. But, you know, number two, number three, and this one's the big one for me, because if you heard last week's podcast, I did a whole thing about Tampa, what it means to be a Bucs fan for me being born and raised here, going back to when I was in my mom's womb for the 1979 NFC Championship season, or NFC Championship game season, I should say. And, you know, being inside of her tummy for those games that she attended and climbed up as a pregnant woman, all those stairs at the old Sombrero. And that's where this goes for me all the way back. I mean, I always think of myself as like Mr. Tampa. So, if something bad is going to happen, and we didn't know at the time, if this was going to be Tampa's version of Katrina, if this was going to be Tampa's version of Harvey that just happened in Houston, if this was going to be a profound moment in City of Tampa history, I personally, me who I am and what this city means to me, I can't even fathom being anywhere but here. I can't imagine going somewhere in Orlando or some other city, watching Orlando weathermen or the Weather Channel or Atlanta weathermen. I want Paul Delgado. I want Steve Jervy. You know, I want Dennis Phillips. I want my guys talking about my people and my streets and my neighborhoods. That's what I want. And if something happens, I want to be able to help when it's over in any way I can. That's, maybe you think, oh, Bobby, you're nuts. This is all just gobbledygook. You're an idiot. You should have left. That's fine. This podcast isn't for me to convince you that I'm a good person. This podcast is for me to be real with you, and you can judge me however you want. But, I mean, just in a million years, like, any event in Tampa, any major historical event for Tampa, I mean, it would just kill me. It would tear me up inside not to be here for that. And again, my wife's not from here. She doesn't have that same connection. I understand that. But hell, in fact, the worse it is, the more likely I am to stay. I wouldn't have missed that for the world Sunday. And again, it didn't end up being anything. But if it had, you wouldn't have found my ass anywhere but right here. Right here. Plus, I wanted to tend to our house. I mean, again, the water actually went the opposite way and went out. But what if the water's coming up? I want to be able to move stuff from the bottom floor to the top floor, whatever. I mean, I don't want to just... The whole, hey, let's drive to a different city and come home and see what our house looks like. I don't roll like that, okay? And I don't freak out. And I don't get worried. And like I said, my personal safety was more in danger putting up the shutters than it was from the actual hurricane. I just don't get it. Like, I really... Like, you know how there's certain things about people... It might be like, hey, this guy likes mayonnaise, and I think that's the most disgusting thing, where you know you just can't see eye to eye with them, and you can't understand them on a fundamental level. Or it might even be for a lot of us, like, you ever hear somebody say, I'm not that into football, and you're like, I don't know what to talk to about. I can't talk to this person. You know, that type of thing. Like that's how I am with it, evacuate. Like, if you're going to drive to Atlanta, evacuate for a storm. I mean, if you're homeless or something, I mean, you have a house, right? Like, if you're inside of a house, the house is not going to get blown away. You're inside of a house or other houses. Now, maybe if you don't have any family here, like if you're just alone and you're in an evacuation zone, you literally have nowhere else to go and you're being told to leave your house. That's one thing, I guess, but that's a very narrow, narrow subsection of people. But you will not believe how many people I saw on Facebook. Oh, we're back now from Charlotte. We're back from Atlanta. We're going to I mean, why in the hell would you do that? Are you crazy? So anyway, that was my storm story. We cleaned up the yard, took down the shutters. I didn't fall from the ladder. I got a little bit of a sunburn actually being up there, so I don't know if you want to, you know, call that anything with the hurricane. But again, reading about some of the things that claimed either lives or caused injuries for the hurricane, it's amazing how many of them are related to hurricane preparation or evading the hurricane as opposed to the hurricane itself. You know, whether it be people getting into car accidents, being out on the roads, or falling off their ladders, putting up shutters, or cutting up trees with a chainsaw. I mean, those accounted, at least in America, in Florida, because I know that in the islands, the Caribbean islands, that was a whole different story. And that, you know, obviously they can't evacuate, but their infrastructure is not the same, and it was a very, very tragic thing there. In Florida, you know, I heard more about people doing stuff like that than actually getting injured by the hurricane. So anyway, it's over now. It's week one in the National Football League, and that leads us to our Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking on the Chicago Bears in a game that I was luckily able to watch on Sunday because my power, one, didn't go out, and two, even though the local stations all had storm coverage, as they should, they all provided alternate channels so you could still watch what's on that channel nationally. Because I was thinking beforehand, oh my God, I mean, Fox, NBC, CBS, I'm not going to get to watch any of these football games. None of them. Because they're all on storm coverage. But I didn't realize they had other channels. So I got to watch the Bears-Falcons game on Sunday. And the Bears damn near won that game. Falcons pull it out. Bears come into town now 0-1. But the Bears showed a lot of life there. They're a lot better team than I think we gave them credit for. So we'll get to the game in a minute, but you know, as we start the season, talk about expectations. And expectations this year are as high as they've been, I would say, ever since the mid-2000s, right? I mean, that was the last time the Bucs made the playoffs, 2007. Josh Freeman, when he kind of broke out in 2009, that game against the Packers, the throwback game in the orange jerseys, and the Bucs had a poor record at the time, but then 2010... it was like, okay, here we go, Josh Freeman. And I know this sounds crazy now, but if you were around, you remember. Like, we thought the event since then, that was a long time ago, there hasn't been expectations, really. We've just been kind of hoping the Bucs could just be relevant. Well, there's expectations this year. And when you look at an NFL season, I say this all the time. I mean, we know about baseball, how many games they play, and it's too many. NBA, NHL, 82 each, too many. NFL isn't too many. I don't think they should play more games at all. I'm staunchly in favor of staying at 16 and that's it. But I'll tell you right now, like, and the Falcons-Bears game was a perfect example of it. We're all sitting here today thinking, oh yeah, Bucs, playoffs. Playoffs are bust. I'm saying that too. I mean, if they don't make the playoffs this year, that would be a huge disappointment. That would be one of the biggest disappointments. And you think back to when the Bucs were bad in the 90s and 80s. And then when they were good after 97 for a while, and then when they were bad again. I mean, the most disappointing years I can remember are probably 98. Remember 97 they broke through? 97 was like, it was heaven. I mean, everybody remembers 97. 98, though, 8-8. After we thought, oh man, this is Super Bowl now, baby. Woo! It took a few more years, and they missed the playoffs in 1998. And then, of course, 2003, the year after the Super Bowl, when I pretty much, after the Super Bowl, thought the Bucs were going to be what the Patriots ended up being before the Patriots existed, or as they are now. And I thought, oh, we're probably, you know, you think, what do you think, 3-4 Super Bowls? Maybe just 2 or 3, but definitely 2. And maybe, I mean, we were just going to go win everything for years and years to come. Who would ever have known that night, January 26, 2002, that we'd be sitting here, or excuse me, it was January 26, 2003, 2002 season. We'd be sitting here almost 16 years later, 15 years later, and still have not won a playoff game since that game. But expectations now are that that will happen again. And I think it will. But there are some things to worry about. You've seen what this team has done on offense in the offseason. And let's ignore the preseason for a while because it wasn't a great preseason, but that doesn't matter. But obviously DeSean Jackson, obviously O.J. Howard, you know, obviously bringing in the type of players, obviously having Mike Evans already that they've brought in. Doug Martin should be back. He looks like he has some bounce in his step. That was more of the 2015 variety than the 2016 variety. A more cohesive offensive line, all that stuff. The offense is supposed to be really good, even though we didn't see it much. Jameis Winston, third year now. Not a baby anymore. Has a couple years under his belt. Has seen some things. Is firmly in control as this team's leader, both on offense and in the team in general. You know, everything seems in place. But then you have the defense, and, you know, the defense is still a bit of a concern. And I was reading the team preview from what they did in the St. Pete Times a few days ago, or it might have been a week ago now. Time's been kind of warped here with this hurricane the past few days. But it was before what we thought was going to be the season opener in Miami. It was the big fold-out section. They actually had three sections in there. And Tom, it's either Basinger or Bassinger. I'm not sure. I think it's Basinger. My apologies if I'm mispronouncing this. But he's a numbers guy that the Tampa Bay Times has recently hired. Some of you may be numbers people. Some of you may hate the mathematical side of the game, whether it's sabermetrics in baseball or now it's creeping into football. I love this stuff. I love getting as much information as possible. I'm not saying that it's the end-all, be-all, but I love having other sources of information that you can help paint a picture with about what's happening or why things happen or how it may happen in the future. And Basinger, I'll call him Basinger for the remainder of the podcast. If I'm mispronouncing it again, I'm sorry. Basinger is a guy for the Times that does that. So he looked at the defense in this season team preview, and if any of you didn't read it, he looked at last year's Bucks team. They were excellent on third downs, and they were best in the league at getting off the field on third down. Just that stat. On first and second down, they were not that good. And I won't bore you with all the details of how they measure this, you know, efficiency, things, that, and the other, but the very basics of it. They were outstanding, best in the league on third down at not letting the other team get the first down. First and second down, they were well below league average on those downs. Teams that do that usually regress the next year. Conversely, teams that are really good on first and second down, but maybe not so good on third down, tend to improve quite a bit from year to year. And this is just one stat. I mean, I'm not trying to say this is some bellwether of how the season's going to go. I mean, the defense is a concern for several reasons. I mean, they don't have the talent loaded up over there. They do have talent, for sure, but not the way the offense is supposed to, supposedly. And last year, while they improved a great deal toward the end of the year, and they improved a great deal even in individual games from the beginning of the game to later in the game, you know, they hurt the Bucks a lot last year. Rams game comes to mind. That's just one, but that's just the one that jumps out. This year could still be a concern. I mean, the defense didn't magically just, hey, you guys are good to go now. This isn't the 2002, 1999, you know, those years. This isn't like that. Of course, this offense isn't like those years either. Keep that in mind. But the Buccaneers, again, just going by a metric like that one, poised to maybe regress a little bit. And through all of this, it has to be kept in mind what a small sample size you have when it comes to football in general. I don't care what stat you're using. With only 16 games and with all the different things you can measure, you don't have a ton of data to measure it with. It's just not the way football is. And that brings me to my final point, and that's when you're talking about the NFL, I don't care how good, unless you're the Patriots or somebody like that, and even they're obviously, you know, they struggled a lot in their first game. When you're talking about how a season's going to go, expectations, how good are you, this and that, you can't pencil anything in because it's just so random. And that 1998 Bucks team, going back, I know it's almost 20 years ago, they weren't any better or worse, really, than the 97 team that went 10-6 and won a playoff game. But they lost some games. I mean, these games in the NFL, Falcons-Bears this weekend. Guy on the Bears, on the goal line for the win, turns his head right before he secures the ball. He was looking for the defender, drops it. He catches that, the Bears win. The line is that fine. A pass interference penalty, a holding call. You know, in the second quarter of a game, third and goal from the five, and you don't score, instead you kick a field goal. Seasons turn on that stuff, and you don't even always realize it. It could just be some, again, random moment midway through the second quarter of a game in week six. And do you get the touchdown, or do you lose 4 points and settle for the field goal? I mean, and this is what, by the way, I love this about football, because in baseball, it's grim. I love baseball too, but in baseball, all those games, you almost never get the feeling your season's on the line until you get down to like these final few weeks. And even then, most of the time, you don't. In football, first and goal from the eight, week six, second quarter, your season could be on the line based on whether you kick a field goal or score a touchdown. And you won't know it till the end. But that's how random this stuff, and that has nothing to do with, again, how truly good or not your football team is. But just think about that while you're watching these games this year. Because it happened the other day, and you watch by December. Bucks, I don't know what's going to happen, okay? But the Bucks and Falcons could end up being neck and neck, could be playing for the division. All these random tiebreakers. I mean, the Lions got in over the Bucks on a tiebreaker last year, which, you know, I think it was like divisional, or not even divisional, conference record in common games or whatever the hell it was. It's all random, man. And it makes it entertaining as hell, because every series of every game is big. And football's the only sport that can say that, and it's one of the reasons, not the only reason, but it's one of the reasons why football is, in my opinion, the greatest sport in the world. I mean, it's on the line, college football even more so, but college and NFL, it's on the line every week, every series, every play. Pick six gets taken back to the house, or maybe the DB drops a potential pick six. Season changer. I mean, it all plays out in front of us, but I mean, again, you've got really good teams like the Patriots have been, 14-2, 13-3. You've got some teams 4-12, 3-13, 2-14, what have you. But from like 6-10 to between 10-6 and 11-5, it's not that much different. Forget any stats, forget what your free agency's got, all that stuff, man. And a guy makes a play on the goal line or he doesn't, flips everything. Bears could be 0-1, Falcons could be. Bears could be 1-0, Falcons could be 0-1 this week. Instead, it's the other way around. Think back to 2010. Does anybody remember 2010? When the Bucks went 10-6 and missed the playoffs on a tiebreaker? There was a game at home against Detroit. Now, it wasn't the last game, it was the second to last game, I think. And Detroit wasn't even that good that year. And they called Kellen Winslow Jr. for an atrocious offensive pass interference penalty on a touchdown the Bucks scored that would have won them the football game. Think about NFL history as it pertains to this BS call in some game in Tampa, in some seemingly random game that I guarantee you nobody else around the country remembers, but I remember it. We remember it in Tampa. They called Kellen Winslow for this offensive pass interference. It was a terrible call. Took a touchdown off the board, and the Bucks lose to the Lions at home in week 16. They won the next week. If I'm doing this from memory, I think I've got the numbers right. They won the next week in New Orleans. Needed some other things to happen to get in. It didn't happen. They go 10-6, and they lose on a tiebreaker. Guess who the team was that got in at 10-6? And again, it wasn't head-to-head. It was conference record or something. It was the Green Bay Packers who won the Super Bowl. Now, I'm not saying the Bucks would have won the Super Bowl without that atrocious call. But they would have been in the playoffs, and I guarantee you somebody would. The Green Bay Packers would not have won the Super Bowl because they wouldn't have been in the Super Bowl because they wouldn't have been in the playoffs. That's how close it is. That's how fine the line is. That's how NFL history can be altered just on a play, on a call, one, any time in the season, much less week 16. And that's how close the Green Bay Packers were to never even seeing the playoffs, and Aaron Rodgers was to not having any Super Bowls to his credit. But one referee, one back judge or umpire, whoever it was, makes one atrocious call. Offensive pass interference, Kellen Winslow, touchdown off the board, Bucks lose. And NFL history gets turned on its head. It really is that fine. I was just watching the Tuck Rule a little while ago. I got the smart TV, you know, where you can do apps on the TV. So we can get YouTube on our TV. And one of the cool things about having a five-year-old son is all the crazy stuff that's happened over the years that he has no idea about that I get to show him for the first time. So I was telling him the story of the Tuck Rule game. And then I was like, wait a minute, I don't need to tell you this. Let's just bring it up on YouTube. So I brought it up on the screen, and he's looking at all the snow. And I'm like, yeah, they called this a fumble. And then they reviewed and they said it wasn't a fumble. If they don't call that a fumble, if they do call that a fumble, guess what? John Gruden probably stays in Oakland, never comes here, and we never win the Super Bowl very likely. Again, one call, and that was a playoff game at least, but it can be that random in the regular season or the playoffs. So just keep that in mind while we're watching these games. And I say that only so that you, I'm not trying to get your blood pressure up, but you know, if the Bucs mess up a goal line play call in one of these games, and you know, instead of it being 14-7, they go up 10-7 because they don't get a touchdown, your season could be the difference on those type of things. And that goes for everybody, no matter how good or bad you are. With that said, this is a team last year that with the defense it had went 9-7 and missed the playoffs on a tiebreaker and should have won a couple of other games, again, even with the defense it had. So when you throw in a better offense, more weapons, more experience, not just better players, but the same players playing better from year to the next, when you throw that in on top of a defense that we hope doesn't regress even a little, but may, it's not unreasonable to have the expectations you have. And as we set sail here for the first game of what we hope is at least, you know, 18 or 19 of them, as a Bucs fan, the place I'm in right now, and think about this too, I'll leave you with this. Think about this week in the next couple days before the game. Where are you as a Bucs fan right now? First of all, I'm just happy it's Bucs. And going back to when I was a kid, it never mattered if they were supposed to be good or not. I was just happy I had a Bucs game to turn on. Because those 16 Sundays or Mondays a year, man, there's nothing like it. And no matter what's going on in my life, good, bad, ugly, time stops for a couple hours, 3 hours, because we're watching the Bucs. So, again, independent of any expectations, that's true. But number two, think about where you'll be in December if they miss the playoffs. It'll hurt bad. It'll hurt. I'll be bummed out. I'm really at the point, and they say, oh, don't get too wrapped up in something emotionally, so if you get let down, it won't hurt as much. I've never been a believer in that. Go all in. Get hurt. It's supposed to hurt. Why would you not want to feel things? I don't get that. Why would you want to always guard against feeling pain? Just feel pain. Because it makes the highs higher too. But another clip I was showing my son on YouTube. The Adele Shepard catch no catch. Redskins 2005. 2007, the Giants come in here on their way to a Super Bowl and beat the Bucks. And they ain't been a playoff game to get excited about since then. A decade. I miss it. I want to watch playoff games this December. I love the NFL playoffs, but they're so much more fun when your team's in it. So 3 months from now, I hope that's what we're talking about. But we're not worried about that right now. Sunday, Bucks Bears, 1 o'clock. It's going to be fun. It's going to be real again. Hopefully, again, after all this hurricane stuff, everybody's doing okay now. I'm glad they are playing the game. When you know, there was some potential talk about not being able to do it and this, that, and the other. And it didn't seem like things were that bad here. But again, they have a lot of other things to take into account besides just, hey, how's the weather now? You know, there's a lot of logistical things, law enforcement, and things take time. I mean, they're still restoring power to a lot of parts of Tampa. And Tampa wasn't even hit that hard. I mean, imagine, you know, again, this was tropical storm force conditions at worst in Tampa. Imagine a real deal, you know, 3 or 4 or even a 2, you know, because we had a lot of stuff down in our yard. A lot of people lost power. It was a big deal. So we're very fortunate it wasn't worse, and we're very, very fortunate to be where we are, getting ready for our first football game of the season, Sunday at 1. I want to thank again the Joes, as always. Second podcast was as much fun as the first. I'm sweating just as hard, sitting in the passenger seat of my wife's car in our garage in my soundproof booth here. If you want to email me, again, always email me. Anytime you have a thought pop into your head, I want to hear from you guys. I like talking to you guys. If you want to hear something on the show talked about, ideas, cushion, discussion, BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. That's BobbyGameDay, all spelled normal. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. My Twitter is @BobbyGameDay. We post every Thursday. That's the Free Stretch podcast number 2. Thanks to the Joes, of course, for hosting this podcast as always. And I'll talk to you guys next week, hopefully about a 1-0 football team. Let's go, Bucks, and let's have some fun this weekend. Stay safe.